Hi, this is Tom Winifred with the Bearcast on the 4th of September. It's a bank holiday in the United States. For me, it's the start of travel home day from Greece. I discussed with the missus what the title of this Bearcast was going to be, and she said, "Ooh, taking up the arsenal. That's rather crude, isn't it?" Well, yes. But crude is what you like, isn't it? You like swear words, you like naughty jokes, and you like comments which are vaguely homophobic. She thought it was totally homophobic, but it's within context. It's within context because we're talking about BNN. Its shares have been suspended today. Now, if you are owning them, you're obviously not a dedicated reader of this site and follower of Lucien Myers. The statement is truly extraordinary. The company announced that the Chief Financial Officer, Scott Kennedy, quit late on 1st of September. Quit with immediate effect. He's just left the building. Hasn't even waited to negotiate a settlement. He's out of there. As part of his resignation, he's made a number of, quote, serious allegations with regards to the company and the actions of Darren Mercer, Chief Executive Officer, and Wei Kui, the China CEO and Group Chief Operating Officer. ProTem, the Group Financial Controller, is going to take control. The allegations are noted to be serious, and therefore they're so serious that Mr. Mercer and Mr. Kui have been suspended with immediate effect. Without any executive directors or senior management, shares in the company have been suspended on the AIM Casino. That takes effect today. Now, I make a couple of general points. One, there are two non-execs here. The chairman is Lord Mancroft. From memory, he is the member of the House of Lords who used to be a drug addict and is now a spokesman on drug-related matters. If he's not, if Lord Mancroft in the BNN is in fact totally clean, or as has been, I apologise. My point is a general one. Having members of the House of Lords as your chairman, or indeed retired ministers, normally Tory, although there's of course Lord Peter Hain of Sleaze, having them on the board may impress some people. For me, it's always a complete red flag, because essentially these people are clueless. They've never had a proper job in their life, and they wouldn't have any idea how the business is going on. We see that now. Lord Mancroft, for all his undoubted skills, has been paid to be a non-executive chairman for a whole length of time. Now, when the shit hits the fan, he is unable to step into the breach. I'd like to have a non-executive chairman who's got sufficient hands-on business experience. They could step into the breach and become an executive chairman in an emergency. That is clearly not the case with Lord Mancroft. It never is the case with any of the retired or failed politicians who litter the boards of shit companies in London. Now, the key thing about this one is, say, you were warned. Lucien Myers wrote about it extensively in 2015, 2016. He hasn't written about it since, but he is short, and he's calling this one a slam dunk wipeout. He's expecting to get a 100% win here. The shares were suspended at 42p. Another red flag is the fact that the company's last fundraising was in May of this year, when it raised $25 million at 80p. The fact that shares have slumped since the placing tells you something is terribly, terribly wrong already. Reading back over Lucien's copy, another horrific red flag from this company is the fact that it keeps on changing the goalposts with regards to targets of profitability. In fact, it's had to change its business model because of regulatory changes in China. It started off as an online gambling, and now it's online lotteries, many of them involving British football clubs. Arsenal, hence the pun in the headline. Much play was made by this company time and time again of its Arsenal lottery. Of course, one suspects Arsenal won't be earning much from this going forward. One other red flag I always say is any company which tries to make great play of its connection with something glamorous, either a celebrity or a football club or something like that, is always one that I tend to avoid. You will remember Quindel and its involvement with the jug-eared, virtue-signalling, multimillionaire, complete bastard, Gary Lineker. being a case in point. We go forward. So the company's changed its business plan a number of times. What it's also done is changed its the goalposts with regard to profitability. It has raised tens of millions of pounds through Mirabeau. Mirabeau, in my view, a completely morally bankrupt firm in London. Remember that it raised tens of millions of pounds for the complete and utterly obvious fraudulent company that was Form. The evidence was there. Form was fraud. It was going to go bust. It has indeed now finally gone bust. Mirabeau didn't care. It was earning its 5%, raising tens of millions for it. And equally, Mirabeau has earned lots of 5%, raising tens of millions of quid for BNN as well. Well, you know, it pays to the coke and hookers, but when St. Peter comes to judge the people who are involved in the client take-on process round at Mirabeau, I think he's going to have one or two questions, don't you? As a general rule, Mirabeau as a broker is not something that I view as being positive. Going back to the moving the goalposts, the goalpost move here was with regard to profitability. Writing in the early part of 2016, Lucien Myers noted how the company was promising profitability in the second half of that year. Lucien was somewhat sceptical about it, and in due course, his scepticism was proved correct. Now, it's interesting, looking at the most recent interim results from the company, which actually only came out on the 21st of August. 21st of August, interim results, needless to say, a stonking first half loss. The company talks about EBITDA, as you'd expect, bullshit earnings. But whichever metric of profitability it uses, bullshit earnings, real earnings, adjusted earnings, it can't get away from the fact that it's another loss. What does Darren Mercer say? He says the company is going to be profitable in the second half of 2017 and from 2018. Well, that suggests to me that the company was going to be loss-making in the second half, but he was claiming that it would, at some stage during the second half, hit profitability. I don't believe that for a second. There is more chance of West Ham United, my beloved West Ham United, winning the League and Cup double, and with the clueless Joe Hart keeping a clean sheet for the rest of the season, than there is of this company being profitable in the second half of this year. The run rate, the cash burn in H1 was around about just under 20 million. It was a huge cash raise. What is intriguing here, of course, is what would have happened if the company hadn't raised the money in May with Mirabeau. It raised the money and it raised a gross 25 million. That was on sometime in late May. By June 30th, net cash was 20 million. Now, one can look at trade payables, trade receivables. I think when you have a company that's operating in China, where there are allegations of real wrongdoing about the CEO and the chief operating officer, I think I would take trade receivables with a pinch of salt. I would have cash held on to secure deposits, again with a pinch of salt. I think there'd be all sorts of reservations about them. The only numbers you can be pretty damn sure about, well, you probably can be pretty sure about trade payables, but the only ones that you can bet the ranch on as being accurate are cash and debt. And we know net cash was 20 million at June 30th. So without that fundraising, even allowing for Mirabeau taking 5% for coke and hookers, it would have raised well over 20 million in late May. Therefore, you are talking about the company would have had net debt by June 30 without the fundraise. And there would have been real questions about whether it was solvent. There's no way the auditors would have signed off on that. I mean, it's an interim statement, but there would have had to be a warning. The company is basically heading for tits up. So it needed that fundraise, which is needless to say, it said was for working capital and all the other bollocks. It needed that in order to survive. My suggestion to you is that by Christmas, the money, if it is still there, will all have gone. with a company operating in China, we've seen all too often how stated cash actually is non-existent. It's already disproved. I am being generous in saying that this company will be different. I don't really trust Darren Mercer. I think he's a very skilled promoter, but probably more on the line of bullshitter than promoter. I don't really trust him, but I will be generous and say the money is there. Well, it's there now, but I bet you by Christmas, with ongoing cash burn, and clearly with problems in the business, it will have gone. The company will be bust. There is no way on earth that this company can raise any more money on the AIM Casino. Therefore, I put it to you that the company is toast. At 42p, the market cap is 90 million quid. That's 90 million quid too high. This company has trivial revenues, massive cash burn, and today's statement reads terribly. I put it to you, this is a slam dunk zero. It's a big win, another big win for Lucien Myers. You know, people knock Lucien Myers because he said UK oil and gas shares were short at 3.1. In fact, he went short at 3.1. Generally, Lucien gets is where he is today because he gets it right far more often than he gets it wrong. As a bear, as a shorter, the odds are stacked against you. The best that can happen is that you make 100%. You go short of a stock and it goes to zero, as will happen to BNN. The worst is you lose the lot. At some stage, with being short of UK oil and gas at 3.1, when the shares were 9p or 9.3, Lucien was 200% out of the money. He's rather less out of the money now. The fact is, Lucien is good. With BNN, what's interesting is that there was the initial attack by Lucien, all these questions asked, none of them answered. He made numerous valid points and none of them were ever answered by the company. It went with the right defense, which is what a bad company or a fraud should do, which is just to say nothing. It didn't say we're threatening legal action against Mr. Myers. It didn't do any of that. It did the right thing. It stayed totally silent. Nothing happened for a year. It was also rather quiet on the radar. Suddenly we get this collapse. I put it to you, the same will be true of Telit. We have the same things there. Gross over promotion, clear evidence of fraud, clear evidence of criminality by the board. We don't know that the allegations against Darren and Mr. Q are how do you pronounce QI? I don't know. Chris Bailey, send me a letter. We don't know if they're true. We do know the allegations against the Telit board are true. Evidence of clear criminality against at least two key staffers. It could be that anything will happen to the share price of Telit. Well, indeed, it has. The same thing happened to BNN. The shares went up, then they went down. Bang! Today, it's all game over. It's a zero. The same thing will happen to Telit. It's a matter of when, not if. On the subject of UK oil and gas, you can see we had another go, or I had another go over the weekend. There are two strands to this. Firstly, there's the evidence of Mr. Smythe, Dr. Smythe, David Smythe, who is a geologist. There are a lot of people out there who say he's a crank, he's a loon, he's a miserable old git, he can be disregarded. Fine. If you are a shareholder in UK oil and gas and you wish to take that approach, that is fine. If I was a shareholder in a company and someone who is clearly trained in the subject matter at hand, he may be a crank, he may be a miserable old git, it doesn't really matter. He does have some knowledge of geology. I put it to you that David Smythe knows more about the geology of fractures, faults in the Weald Basin than your average poster on the LSE Asylum. So David Smythe knows a bit more. If you want to ignore him completely and say he's a crank, well, fine, that's your call. It's not what I would do, and it's not what a sensible shareholder would do. To quote Keynes, if the evidence changes, what do? Well, you change your stance. Now, it may be that you disagree with the analysis of Dr. Smythe. It may be that you think he's wrong. Fine. You should at least read it. You should at least take it on board. My problem with Horsehill is not the Smythe analysis, because if the Smythe analysis is correct, then UK oil and gas is zero. I don't think it is a zero. My problem is simply, as per Saturday's bearcast, you have a market cap of 244 million for a company that owns, what is it, 35% of the acreage around there. That implies that in order to be valued on a cash flow multiple, and let's be really generous, of 5, that its share is making 50 million free operating cash flow a year right now. But therefore, the whole thing is making 150 million free operating cash flow. Now, you've got to discount back for the time problem, the fact you've got to do the cost of further exploration and getting things into production. So you're saying that within 2 or 3 years, this thing should be generating free operating cash flow of 200 million. Well, I put it to you, the odds are stacked against it in a material way. Anything less than that, and the shares are just grossly overvalued on a fundamental basis. That is the point I'm making. Now, Lucian's entry point as a bear was wrong. I accept that, and he accepts that. He's paid the penalty. Fundamentally, he's right. The shares are overvalued. They were overvalued at 3.1. The fair price is closer to a penny, but the market can do anything. Clearly, with BNN, one would say now it is likely to be a zero. That didn't stop the shares going through the roof in days gone by. In the end, however, you can't dodge fundamentals. Remember that, tell it shareholders. Remember that, FinCap, you fucktard nomad. In the end, fundamentals come home to roost. Companies that burn their way through vast amounts of cash eventually run out of other people's money and they go tits up. Talking of which, I noticed today an announcement from Blenheim Natural Resources. Blenheim Natural Resources is an investment company. I don't rate the board at all. Mark Parker from African Eagle, I've got real reservations about him. The way that African Eagle went down the pan means that, frankly, anyone on that board being involved in the company makes that company totally uninvestable. You'll remember that Blenheim had a tie-up with Lion Chris Cleverly at African Potash. So there's a personnel issue hit there. There's the other thing that I think is invested in a whole load of shite. And therefore, the stock is trading at a premium to the fair value of the shite it's in. We have an announcement today. Blenheim Natural Resources, quote, investor engagement via Vox Markets. Blenheim's chairman, Chris Ellis, comments, quote, initiating a company channel on Vox Markets is a key part of our drive to improve communications with our shareholders and other investors. Together with our investor seminar to be held on 15 September, the new channel will give investors the opportunity to learn more about Blenheim, our investments, our future plans, and to engage more closely with the company. That is fucking cock. The assumption here is, what Blenheim and Chris Ells want you to believe, is that somehow there are hidden gems in the Blenheim portfolio, and investors just don't know about them. It's rather like the political party who say, you know, our policies are right. And, Vince Cable, our policies are right. And the people really like our policies. Right, they love our policies. They love them far more than anyone else. The problem is they just don't know about it. It's all a matter of communication. It's the classic political thing. As long as we can get the message across more effectively, we're going to win because we have the right message, even though the opinion polls show that no one supports us whatsoever. That is what they say, and this is what Blenheim is saying. We've got a whole load of jewels. As long as we communicate more effectively and engage with our shareholders and potential shareholders, our shares will go up. That's rubbish. People who want to know about Blenheim are perfectly well informed about the rubbish that it owns. In fact, that's probably why its shares have been such a dog. People are aware it owns complete and utter crap. People are aware that it's hooked up with Mark Parker. People are aware of the fundamental misjudgment of doing a share swap and engaging with Lion Chris Cleverly over African Potash. And they say, this is rubbish. We don't want to own it. Investor engagement. What a funny word. It's not engagement. Let's be honest here. What is happening is Blenheim Natural Resources is paying a sum of money to Vox Markets. Vox Markets will then put up on its website the annual report, any crappy paid-for commission research saying that Blenheim shares are buy, and will also do podcasts and video interviews with the company. It is not going to ask questions like, why did you do a deal with lying Chris Cleverly at African Potash when everyone knew he was a fucking liar? Why did you take shares in African Potash when everyone knew it was a fucking fraud? Doesn't that show that you're not fit to run the public laboratory at Athens bus station, let alone a PLC? No, that won't be the sort of questions that we ask. The sort of questions we'll be asked will be, tell us about the wonderful investments in your portfolio. Tell us why your shares are so cheap. Oh, wow, that was very persuasive. Tell us, is your dong 24 inches long or 48 inches long, Mr. Ells? Oh, really? Can I see? Those are the sort of questions. It is not worth anything at all. And that's not going to inform investors. That's just going to be spin. That's all the statement says. For putting out that announcement, it is yet another reason why Blenheim remains a complete joke company and the shares are a sell. Finally, a quick note that Advanced Oncotherapy, we haven't heard about much of them for a while, have we? It's which it calls itself the developer of next-generation proton therapy systems for cancer treatment. Bollocks, it's a burner of cash. Says that it's on schedule with the development of its first light system. Jolly good news. It's also said that it's had successful integration of three key elements of the device. The first side coupled drift tube LINAC, SCDTL, has been integrated with the radio frequency quadruple RFQ and proton source. Wow! I think there was an episode of Doctor Who where they did that in the TARDIS, and it meant the TARDIS could travel even more quickly. Anyhow, it all sounds jolly clever, but it does make two points. One is that they still haven't actually got a working model of the whole thing, which proves it works. They are, as they go along, putting in something from the TARDIS and something from the Starship Enterprise, clunking them together and hoping that it works. Well, you wouldn't bet the ranch on it, but Advanced Onco has. The second thing, which is critical here, is there is no mention of cash. No mention of cash burn. Well, that's what matters here, because Advanced Oncotherapy got a refinancing away a little while ago. But that money's not going to last until very much into the fall. Well before Christmas, this company is tits up again. If the shares were to be above 25p, which of course is the price par value, then maybe it could raise a little bit more to keep the show on the road. But they're not. They're 15p. So what you're seeing here is another desperate ramp. It is announcing something completely meaningless in a desperate attempt to pump the stock up to a level where it can raise more equity. Because again, it's almost out of cash, not that it bothers mentioning it to you. That's the truth. As such, this statement, whether it does mean that the TARDIS is now faster than the Millennium Falcon, is irrelevant. The reality is, what this announcement really says is, we've carried on sticking bits and bobs together, and we're almost out of cash, we're trying to pump the stock. This announcement is not an invitation to buy the shares, or it's not a reason to buy the shares, it's an invitation to sell. In fact, it's an obligation to sell. I'll be back with another Bearcast tomorrow. Speak to you then.